Okay. Today's lesson will be coming from the Book of Joel, a book we often go to all the time. Not really. But it's one of those minor prophets that has three chapters, but it's filled with some great things. And but the title of today's lesson so is The Rewards of Repentance, The Rewards of Repentance. Have you ever gone through a particularly grueling ordeal or something of that nature for a particular purpose? Have you ever studied long and hard for a test and you ended up getting a good grade? Have you ever been working out at the gym or something of that nature? Have you ever worked out so much every day, or however often people work out every day for a month, and you've lost so many pounds and you feel great when you weigh yourself and you see, wow, this is actually there's some tangible effect coming from this. Perhaps one of the most rewarding things is going through, of course, I wouldn't know about this personally, but going through hours and hours of labor. And then at the end, you get a beautiful baby when all is said and done. When the reward is realized, you tend to forget the struggle that it took to get there. Once you're holding that, my wife had C-sections both times, but I imagine with a natural birth that you would, that and I, what I hear anyway, is that once you go through all that pain and anguish of childbearing, of childbirth, and then you're holding that baby, you don't forget the pain so much as it all seems worth it to have that wonderful child in your arms. That's why some people go back to school. That's why some people keep working out. That's why they might have another child. When the reward is realized, the struggle is forgotten. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. Joel talks about this from a spiritual perspective. Joel is a short book, three chapters, as I said, and it's shrouded in mystery. There's no way of determining a date that is that this book was written. The closest that we might find is Joel chapter 3 and verse 1 in reference to a captivity. And it could be a reference to the captivity in Babylon, or it could be a reference to some future captivity that would occur. We're just not sure. Many others think that it was written earlier on during the reign of Joash. In the southern kingdom, there is a locust plague that's mentioned that Joel warns about that doesn't seem to have taken place, at least not literally. So either the people repented and were delivered, or the locusts weren't a literal locust plague. Whatever the case, this is still God's word. And as any prophet does, he talks. One of the things he talks about is of repentance. So we're going to look at Joel chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 12. And we'll read from verse 12 to 17. In fact, that's where we'll start anyway. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say, among the peoples, where is their God? So the Lord, through Joel, urges the people to turn to him, to repent, showing signs of repentance, as we see in verse 12, fasting, weeping, and mourning. He urges them not to simply make a show of it. He says, don't rend your heart, or don't rend your garments, rend your heart. Don't make a show of it, but really mean your repentance. And as in Jonah the other day that we discussed, we see that God being merciful and gracious to those who are penitent, as we see in verses 13 and 14. This outward show of repentance needs to reflect an inward reality, as we see in verses 15 through 17. This is a grueling show of repentance that the Lord demands here, and their sin was great. They are to fast and mourn together, purifying the people, purging the sin from them. Then we see the result in verse 18 and following. Let's read the description that the Lord gives here of what the reward for repentance is like. And what I want us to do as we read this is think about what we go through when we have sinned and we repent and now we're forgiven. This is what it should feel like. Not that it would feel that way automatically or magically, so to speak, but that it will feel that way, or that we should understand that this is how we should react to it. This is how it should be. So let us look at verse 18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations. I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land, with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up and the trees bear its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad, then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. We see at the beginning of this in verse 18 that the Lord will pity his people and deliver them from harm. Throughout this passage, we read that that his people will be restored and blessed beyond measure. It will be as if they had never fallen under condemnation. What's shown here are the physical blessings that for us represent the spiritual. Since we are unsure again of the time frame of this book, it is uncertain whether or not the Israelites took the Lord up on his offer to repent. There is no recorded locust plague that destroyed Israel that we find in Scripture, assuming the locusts are even literal, but the truths are very relevant for us today. As stated, God is merciful and gracious to the penitent. We always need to turn toward God in all that we do. You see, repentance is never easy. It requires change. And we, as generally speaking, as a people, we don't like change. It can be very grueling, but the rewards, as we've read, are very much worth it. Just as a mother holding her newborn, the pain and struggle it took to get there will be a distant memory when you experience the rewards of repentance. We won't experience them fully until we reach heaven, but when we get there, we'll realize that heaven will surely be worth it all. Do you want those rewards this evening? Do you want a chance to experience that, those wonderful rewards that we talked about, the reward of heaven and the forgiveness of sins? I hope that you do. And one of the things we read about today is that repentance is a big part of that. Again, repentance isn't easy. We all understand that. One of the phrases that, or one of the things that I've learned over the years is that when we talk about the plan of salvation, hear, repent, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Of those five things, it's easy to hear. All we have to do is listen to someone teach the gospel. It's easy. I mean, for some anyway, it's easy to believe, to see, oh yeah, well that makes sense. It's easy to confess, to simply say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's the easiest thing in the world. One of the other easiest things in the world to do is to get baptized, to go under the water, and to have your and just that's easy to do. The hardest thing, though, is repentance, because that actually requires us to do something. That requires us to change. That requires us to live better. And as we saw, God is gracious and merciful to the penitent, to those who repent. And if you want to do those things, that plan of salvation that we just talked about, hear, believe, repent, well, you've heard. If you'd like to, if you believe in the gospel, if you believe in Jesus, if you repent of your sins and confess it and confess his name and be baptized, you can be saved. And we can help you with that this evening. If you've done those things already and you've strayed from the truth, you strayed from the path, and you need to repent. As we said, he's gracious and merciful to all who repent. And I'm so grateful for that. And I hope you are too. And if you need to repent of anything today, then please do so. And pray God that your sins be forgiven. And if there's something you need to confess before us this evening, we encourage you to do so. There'll be instructions on the screen in just a moment so that we can help you obey the gospel this evening. Please, if you have a need, let us know as we sing this song.